Are jobs beginning to come back? We'll get word in about half an hour.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. We are about to get a key economic indicator this morning, the government's employment report for July. It will be much dissected to see whether it suggests a recovery or a slide back toward recession. Now, we're pretty sure the big overall number, jobs created, that's going to be negative because 140,000 or so temporary government census takers went back to unemployment. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live to preview what else we might learn this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
So in terms of the key question, Mitchell, will private companies be hiring workers? What do you think we'll see?
Companies probably added 50 to 100,000 new jobs in July. That's decent, but it needs to be significantly better ultimately to whittle away at the unemployment rate. Economists predict that that edged closer to 10% again. As unemployed people see these jobs being created, they return to the job search.
And is there something that can be done to knock down that unemployment rate?
Well, I would have thought an obvious answer was retraining workers for more skilled jobs. I put the question to Heidi Shierholz at the Economic Policy Institute.
What's going on now is that employers just don't see increased demand for their goods and services, so they are not hiring workers. And some sort of broad-scale retraining of workers isn't going to be the key to get us out of this.
So think about it. Jane Doe gets laid off from her job as a cafeteria worker, and she retrains to, let's say, be a medical technician. Mm-hmm. So because of that, she gets a job at the local hospital instead of her friend who also got laid off from the cafeteria and didn't go back to school. But there still aren't enough jobs to go around for all the laid off cafeteria workers and the teachers and the mortgage brokers and whatever.
Right.
So there's still around 5 job seekers for every job available.
So then if it's not about job training, Mitchell, how do we get more job creation?
Well, Shierholz, who leans left, thinks that we need more government stimulus spending again on infrastructure, maybe a jobs program like there was in the Great Depression. Business associations and free market think tanks send me press releases every day saying, don't do that. They say reduce government spending because in the long run, that crowds out businesses from borrowing to expand. And they say get rid of regulations and mandates on employers, and that is what will start them hiring again.
Should be interesting this morning. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you.
You're welcome.
New Jersey lawmakers are gathering in Atlantic City today, and they are not there to gamble. Actually, that's Atlantic City's problem, not enough people there to gamble. Reporter Sally Herschip says the entire state is feeling the drop-off.
A couple of years ago, Atlantic City's entertainment industry employed 50,000 people, but now that number has dropped by almost a quarter. John Hansen is chairman of the Governor's Advisory Commission for New Jersey Gaming. He says part of the problem comes from outside the state.
Competition. When the casinos opened in Atlantic City, there were no casinos on the eastern seaboard.
Today, there are lots of places to roll the dice. New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Delaware. Jim Whalen is a New Jersey state senator. He says Atlantic City is run down. Not a selling point for cash-strapped tourists.
People don't feel safe because they're looking at a block where the dominant characteristic is empty ground and abandoned buildings.
He says Atlantic City needs new casinos.
We've had one new casino open in the last 20 years.
And new thinking.
Dining, retail, entertainment. We can't just think in isolation of here's a casino with a bunch of rooms and a bunch of slot machines.
Casino gaming represents one of New Jersey's largest industries. Nearly $1 billion in state and local taxes. I'm Sally Herschip for Marketplace.
Now let's check on a different form of gambling. Stocks, that is. Shares in Europe are paying 0.5% this morning. There's fresh evidence that business is picking up on the continent. Asian stocks were mixed, and yesterday in New York, the Dow Industrials gave up 5 points, closed at 10,674.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
This summer's been a bust for a lot of music acts. The biggest concert promoter, Live Nation, their revenues are down 12%. Christina Aguilera canceled her tour because of slow ticket sales. But one music festival keeps bucking the trend. The Lollapalooza tour kicks off today in Chicago, and tickets are selling. Marketplace's Janet Babin wondered why some acts are not singing the recession blues.
Lollapalooza is expected to sell out, despite an antitrust investigation into the festival's promoters. Fans will shell out more than $200 to see dozens of bands, including this one, the Drive-By Truckers. Paul Reznikoff publishes digital music news. He says the recession has made fans more frugal, but they consider Lollapalooza a bargain.
It's about more than just music, right? It's this huge get-together and experience and lots of bands. There's just a lot there.
And the recession can actually work in a smaller act's favor. David Lowry fronts the 90s rock band Cracker that's in the midst of its summer tour.
Our gross is probably about the same as last year. Our net is probably actually a little better.
Lowry says the band increased profits by playing less expensive, smaller venues and corporate-sponsored events for a guaranteed fee. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, here is the week's business news compressed to a Marketplace minute. Once again, the economy's aching while companies show us the money they're making. Kraft sold a lot of cheese nips and Chips Ahoy and Miracle Whips and Ritz and Kool-Aid and Shake and Bake and A1 sauce to put on your steak, while Procter & Gamble was head and shoulders above the rest, thanks to Crest and Pampers and Pringles and Bounty and Braun and Tide and Gillette and Downy and Dawn. Profits were disappointing at Dow, which used to own scrubbing bubbles, but now it's chemicals, pesticides, styrofoam and plastics and rubber and stuff for your home. Profits were up at the other Dow, Jones. It's one of the things Rupert Murdoch owns, along with the Wall Street Journal and Fox. You'll know his shares rose if you follow the stocks. Meanwhile, the rest of us suffer along, expecting bad news and hoping we're wrong. The employment report comes today, so we'll see, and I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.